I will now pass it over to Jennifer Hanna, who will open today's call.
Great. Thank you, Maria. And thank you all of you today for joining
Finished
us.
Recording.
For anyone that may be new, I'm Jennifer Hanna, Deputy Director of ASPR's National Healthcare Preparedness Programs, or NHPP branch. And it's my pleasure to be with all of you today as we connect on the COVID-19 and FY20 performance measures for HPP and the Regional Ebola and Other Special Pathogen Treatment Centers, or RESPTCs. Before I begin, I want to thank those who submitted their HPP Cooperative Agreement Budget Period 3 continuation applications. We greatly appreciate the time that was spent completing the applications, and we are currently in the middle of reviewing your submissions and working with our ASPR Grants Management Office to get those awards made as soon as possible. So I will now provide a quick overview of what we will cover during today's webinar. Next slide, please. During today's call, the Deloitte data team will review the HPP COVID-19 supplemental funding and RESPTC FY20 and COVID-19 supplemental funding performance measures. We'll begin by reviewing the RESPTC FY20 and COVID-19 performance measures, and we'll examine the categories and performance measures included in these documents. Following that, we'll review the HPP COVID-19 supplemental funding measures, looking at a high-level overview of the categories and the performance and the performance measures. Lastly, we will leave some time for questions for you all about the measures and data collection. I'll now pass it over to Pete Tellaroli, who supports ASPR's National Healthcare Preparedness Programs branch, on the items related to the data and evaluation.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you all for being here today. I'm very happy to be here to discuss with you our three sets of performance metrics documents. I'm gonna share my screen and we're gonna start with the RESPTC FY20 documents. So just give me a moment to get these slides up. And so, we have three sets to get through. And as I mentioned, we're going to start with the RESPTC FY20 performance measures. These measures are divided into seven different categories, and those are based on our terms and conditions in the funding award, funding announcement. And we have funding use, readiness and preparedness, capability and capacity, training measures, network development, evaluation support, and optional measures. And one thing that I want to make clear, and I will reiterate this a couple of times when I go through the other performance measure documents, is that recipients and subrecipients are only going to need to answer questions or performance measures related to activities that were funded. And I'll show you that performance measure 3, which is what we call targeted outcomes. But as an example, if no training measure categories or measures or activities were funded, then the recipient or subrecipient would not have to answer performance measure related questions related to training measures. And so we're doing that to help ease the reporting burden, and we hope that this is a successful strategy for you all. And moving forward, for the RESPTC FY20 documents, we have a total of, I believe, 19 performance measures. There are 15 performance measures that we are called required performance measures related to the categories. And then there are 4 optional measures as well. Much of the FY20 performance measures focuses on network development. We have 6 performance measures related to network development in the FY20 document, focusing on strategies, coordination, and initiatives to support a region's special pathogens system of care. We also have interesting items related to evaluation support, readiness and preparedness, and capability and capacity as well. And moving forward, I'm actually gonna do a little deep dive on some of the performance measures. So 3 categories that I think are interesting and important are the network development, evaluation support, and then capability and capacity. So what I'd like to do now is to jump into the actual document itself. And One thing I think it'll be important to do is what I'm going to drop the link to the FY20 performance measures on PAT.gov into the chat so that you all have them. That is what I'm going to be sharing from. There's also a printable version on the website itself. So dropping the link in the chat now, then I'm going to reshare my screen for you all to the FY20 performance measures document. So related to the funding use and how I talked about in performance measure 3, how activities are only going to need to be filled out for those at which were funded. If we go to our funding use, there is a table called estimated funding by target outcomes. And this is where recipients and subrecipients will be able to input money related to activities that were funded. So as an example, if money was spent on regional treatment centers maintenance or their continued capability and capacity for special pathogen care, then the way we would do this is that recipients or subrecipients would then only have to answer a measure related to this. And while our data collection system decision is still pending, we'll make sure that this is something for recipients and subrecipients to be able to do. So moving forward, I want to just focus quickly on capability and capacity. And the way the measures are structured are around four data items. We have required program performance measure. We have a data point, which is the question that we'll ask. The data entity, which is the entity that will be providing the information. And then just an overall calculation on how we calculate the performance measure. So as an example for this one, percent of RESPTCs implementing activities to maintain continued capability and capacity for special pathogen care. We ask a question that is qualitative in nature and seeks to understand or have you describe how funds were used to maintain continued capability and capacity for special pathogen care. The RESPTC would be providing information related to this. And then we just do a simple qualitative analysis to get a better understanding of the thematic themes for the capability and capacity to care. Under network development measures, as I mentioned, we have six performance measures related to this. And under here, you'll see this operational intent in every single section of the measures. What this is essentially laying out is the activities that you would see in that performance measure 3. So for example, activities under network development measures can be related to supporting the continued planning, development, and implementation of a national system for special pathogen patient care, including engaging state and jurisdiction special pathogen treatment centers and other healthcare facilities, as well as supporting NETEC in their activities as a force amplifier in the region. And these performance measures that we have listed, the six here, will relate back to this operational intent. So for example, performance measure 8, successes and promising practices in the continued planning, development, and implementation of a national system for special pathogen patient care is a qualitative question seeking to understand what successes RESPTCs have experienced regarding the continued planning and development and implementation of a national system for special pathogen patient care. We would do qualitative analysis on this, and as well as identify the number of RESPTCs that reported success. Another one that I'd like to focus on is performance measure 12, which relates to a regional treatment center's initiative to support the region's special pathogens system of care. And again, this is a qualitative question in nature for information to be supplied by the RESPTC. And the question says, please briefly describe the major outcomes associated with your RESPTC's initiatives to support your region's special pathogen system of care. And then again, we would look for themes and the number of RESPTCs implementing initiatives to support the region's special pathogen system of care. Yes, we do understand that the 500 to 750 character limit is always a challenge. We do this because it's just important to be concise as possible. And in the analysis, it can be challenging to allow a larger response. And then lastly, I'm going to look at a section related to what we call evaluation support. And so the operational intent for this is for the collection of RESPTC evaluation and performance measures, in addition to receiving peer assessments using metrics developed by the National Emerging Special Pathogens Training and Education Center. So we have two performance measures for this. One is a simple yes or no, which is, did your organization receive a readiness consultation from the National Emerging Special Pathogens Training and Education Center? Then the second one are changes attributed to participation in NETEC readiness consultations. So this is related to what specific clinical or operational modifications were made by your facility as a result of your participation in a readiness consultation by NETEC using the administrative supplemental funds. And this would be supplied by the RESPTC. And again, we would do a qualitative analysis on the free character response. Finally, we do have some optional questions as well. And while the operative word here is optional, we always enjoy and value responses to these questions. They help us better to understand what is happening and what has been successful and what has been challenging. So we have a couple, I think three or four questions related to this, which is looking at challenges regarding the ability to address preparedness and readiness gaps for RESPTCs, successes and promising practices in addressing preparedness and readiness gaps for RESPTCs. And then again, any recipient participation in program activities. And that's an important one because I just want to read this. With the 10% of funding retained by your organization, did you, the recipient, participate in any of the activities allowable under the RESPTC FY20 administrative supplement? So this is again a free character response, and the recipient will be the one answering this question if it is applicable. So that is the RESPTC FY20 measure documents from a high level overview. Now I'm going to jump into the COVID-19 supplemental funding document as COVID-19 supplemental funding measures for RESPTCs as well. They are very similar to a certain degree. There's a lot of crossover between the two, but there are important differences and delineations that I'd like to make. So again, or similarly, there's 8 different categories for the RESPTC COVID-19 measures. Again, we have funding use, readiness and preparedness, capability and capacity, training measures. PPE procurement and optimization is one that is not in the FY20 measures. And then we have network development, evaluation support, and optional measures. And again, recipients and subrecipients are only going to need to identify which activities were funded, and they'll only have to answer performance metric questions related to those activities. So I just want to make sure that's very clear. Now, the COVID-19 measures have more performance measures. I believe there's about 27 in total. And there's only 15 required in the FY20, and there's about 20 required for the COVID-19. And the difference we see here is really focused on training measures and PPE procurement and optimization. So there's 5 or 6 training measures to look through that are focused on things like providing new or adapted training resources to healthcare facility workers on COVID-19, the number of healthcare facility workers that participated in COVID-19 related trainings, as well as healthcare entities that were engaged outside of the acute healthcare system for awareness trainings related to COVID-19. And then if we look at PPE procurement and the optimization measures, we have performance measures 13 and 14, which are focusing on RESPTCs that increased healthcare supplies and RESPTCs that instituted PPE optimization strategies. And as you can see, 7 optional measures, which I will discuss in more detail when I get to the document itself. And as I mentioned, there are some differences. So training measures, PPE procurement and optimization, and capability and capacity. And a lot of that is informed by the terms and conditions and the targeted outcomes that the measures are trying to achieve. And so I'm going to now drop the COVID-19 supplemental funding link on phe.gov in the chat. And there's also a printable version on this website into the chat. And then I'm going to go to that link and share my screen. So for the COVID-19 supplemental funding performance measures, the first thing I want to focus on is going to that funding table again. I think that's important. And again, this is where recipients or subrecipients will be able to enter the estimated number of funding dollars used for associated activities. And then our data collection system that we will have will hopefully be able to link to the activities associated with that. So we can see these here. So again, if a recipient or subrecipient supported clinical care providers in the implementation of crisis standards of care, I think I am on the wrong document. Yes, sorry. Sharing, I got one step ahead. I'm on the COVID-19 for HPP, not RESPTCs. Give me one second. Okay, here we go. This is better. So again, here's the funding outcome table. And so for example, if regional treatment centers, maintenance, other continued capability and capacity for COVID-19 care was funded, recipients and subrecipients would only have to answer performance measure activities related to that item. If there is no funding related to the continued use and novel approaches for education readiness and assessment activities to support COVID-19 response, then no one would have, then that recipient or subrecipient would not have to answer information related to that. I do need to send a new link. That one was for the HPP, but here you go. Thank you for that. So scrolling down, I'm going to go focus on the first capability and capacity measures, because there is a different one. So performance measure 6 can be found in both the FY20 and the COVID-19 measures. However, performance measure 7 is specific to the RESPTC COVID-19 measures, which is the percent of RESPTCs implementing a 24-hour hotline or other resources to support clinical consultation and technical assistance for COVID-19. Now, this will be a multiple choice question. There will be a pick list, and we ask the question, did your RESPTC use RESPTC COVID-19 preparedness and response activities administrative supplement funds to develop and implement new 24-hour hotline or other resources? You'll be able to choose either establish a new 24-hour hotline, maintain or expand an existing 24-hour hotline, or this will also be a choice, implement other resources to support clinical consultation, technical assistance, which will be a free response question. The RESPTC will provide this information. And then from a calculation perspective, the number of RESPTCs implementing a 24-hour hotline or other resource divided by the total number of RESPTCs. And then I'm going to scroll quickly to the training measures. And for the training measures, there are two pieces of operational intent which are important. We have conduct supplemental training or healthcare facility workers in awareness trainings to healthcare entities outside the acute healthcare system on COVID-19, patient identification, assessment, and treatment. And we have continue to use novel approaches for education readiness and assessment activities to support COVID-19 response, including expanding the use of media, augmented reality, virtual reality, and technology to enhance training for staff and providing new tech training and materials to healthcare facilities throughout the region. So the way these would be worked is we have our performance measure, our data point, our entity, and our calculation. Performance measure 8 reads, percent of RESPTCs providing new or adapted training resources to healthcare facility workers on COVID-19. You can see the difference from my data point here. This will be a pick list. And we ask the question, on which of the following topics did your RESPTC provide new or adapted COVID-19 specific trainings or resources for healthcare facility workers? So if funds were spent on this activity, we provide a pick list here of possible trainings or resources from PPE optimization protocols, all the way down to intake protocols, emergency evacuation of the patient, obtaining testing specimens, among other things. And we also have an other free response category as well. Now, one more that I want to focus on, I believe, is performance measure 12, which is the percent of RESPTCs using novel approaches for education, readiness, and assessment activities to support special pathogen preparedness in response. Again, this will be a pick list, and we'll scroll ask the question, which of the following novel approaches did your RESPTC implement for COVID-19 education readiness and assessment activities using RESPTC COVID-19 supplement funds? And we have two choices here in an other and free response, which will be supplied by the RESPTC. And then lastly, PPE procurement and optimization measures. We have two PPE procurement and optimization measures informed by our operational intent, which is with attention to supply chain shortages, maintain appropriate stores and types of personal protective equipment in accordance with CDC guidelines. So one is understanding the percent of RESPTCs that increased healthcare supplies. So if healthcare supplies were increased as a result of the COVID-19 supplemental funds, which supplies were bought or increased, and another free response category. And this would be the RESPTC helping to provide this information. And then the last one is just a yes or a no, percent of RESPTCs instituting PPE optimization strategies. And that's just a yes or no, and the RESPTC will be providing that. Finally, with the optional questions again, we have 7 optional questions this time. Many are related to challenges and successes and changes. So for example, we have challenges in implementing infection control and triage training programs. And what specific challenges have you faced regarding your ability to train healthcare workers on effective infection control practices and or triage is the data point. And we provide a pick list here for challenges that were had along with another free response. We have changes attributed to infection control and triage trainings, successes in promising practices and procuring needed supplies and equipment, challenges in addressing preparedness and readiness gaps, successes in promising practices and addressing preparedness and readiness gaps, and then RESPTC participation in disseminating clinical recommendations. And then again, similar to the FY20, recipient participation in program activities. And while some of these optional questions do appear in the FY20 administrative supplement, it's very important, as I said earlier, to be able to delineate between the FY20 funds and the COVID-19 funds. There are certainly some crossover, but we just want to make sure that it's understood the two are separate. So that is the RESPTC COVID-19 supplemental funding document. And the last document that I'd like to go over are the HPP COAG supplemental COVID-19 funds. I'm going to drop that link in the chat. And then I'll go back to the presentation. Thank you for your patience. So for the HCP COVID-19 performance measures, there are 9 different categories, and these are quite different from the RESPTC FY20 and COVID-19 documents. We have a funding use, administrative efficiency, Ebola and OSD CONOPS, EMS preparedness, health worker readiness, physical infrastructure, at-risk populations, crisis standards of care, and then optional measures as well. And similar to the RESPTC FY20 and COVID-19 measures, again, recipients and subrecipients will only need to identify activities that were funded and will only have to respond to performance measures that were funded. So that is similar between them. For the HPP document measures, we have 29 total measures. I believe there's about 25 that can be considered as required. And then we have, I believe, 4 or 5 optional measures. And one of the main differences here is the administrative efficiency category. And given that there was two tranches of funding and a 30-day requirement for funding to be released to SPTCs, we ask more questions in this area for administrative efficiency. So that'll be one difference between the three sets of measures. Other differences are related to some of the funding. We have preparedness measures for EMS, health worker readiness. We have crisis standards of care, for instance. And then we also have at-risk population, which is another important section of our measures. And then we have optional measures as well. So when I go into the document, I'll probably, again, focus on EMS preparedness, at-risk populations, and crisis standards of care. Here's just some examples of some of the measures. So for instance, percent of subrecipients that increased healthcare supplies for EMS, percent of subrecipients contributing to the development of crisis standards of care within their jurisdiction. So I will transition back to our performance measure document on PHE.gov now. So again, here are the measures. We have our funding use questions again. And as I reiterated, again, so for example, if this first targeted outcome was not funded, recipients or subrecipients would not have to answer performance measures related to it. However, the second one was funded, or anything related to improving and maintaining healthcare worker readiness, then performance measure questions would need to be answered related to that. So it's just an important thing that I want to stress. Scrolling to the administrative efficiency measures, there are several, which I think are important. And so, like I said, there is a requirement of 30 days for recipients to execute subawards to SPTCs. So we have a performance measure for that. Then we also try to capture information on how long it took to execute subawards to all other subrecipients. And we ask this by the first tranche and the second tranche. So moving forward, if I go to EMS preparedness measures, the operational intent here is to develop or augment operations for coordination with EMS and interfacility transport systems and 911 public safety answering points as part of COVID-19 CONOPS planning. Now, performance measure 11 is important because it asks the percent of subrecipients that increased healthcare supplies for EMS, and this is for EMS only. Within section 5, we also have a performance measure that asks about increased healthcare supplies for non-EMS. So that's one thing to take note of when filling out these measures, is that we have a question for healthcare supplies related to EMS and one related to non-EMS. And similar to what you see here in our data point, we provide a pick list of allowable types of supplies for the facility or organization, along with an other and free response. The subrecipient would be providing this information. And then we just have the calculation column here as well. A couple of other things that we're asking with regards to EMS. Percent of subrecipients that conducted training or exercises to improve EMS COVID-19 preparedness and response activities. And we have a list of activities here along with an other and free response. And again, this would be provided by the subrecipient. Lastly, for performance measure 13, we have percent of subrecipients supporting implementation of surveillance systems and or situational awareness platforms used to inform coordination with EMS, interfacility transport systems, and other healthcare facilities for increasing surge capacity. Our data point looks at whether the facility or organization supported the implementation of any new surveillance systems and or situational awareness platforms to inform or enhance coordination with EMS, interfacility transport systems, and other healthcare facilities. We include a pick list, things like medical, a MOC, an EOC, or an ICC, as well as other information technology systems, and as well as a free response. Scrolling up, I want to go to at-risk population measures as well. This is related from our operational intent of collaborating with my multiple and diverse provider types to ensure capabilities to care for target populations. Performance measure 20 talks about the percent of subrecipients collaborating with others to ensure capabilities to care for target populations. We ask which healthcare provider types were collaborated with. So we have acute care hospitals, EMS, primary care providers, and dialysis centers. And then we also have an optional section here, just for cross-sector facilities or organizations, ones that are not healthcare provider types. And we include organizations like local law enforcement, correctional systems, and social service organizations, along with an other and free response. This would be provided by the subrecipient. For performance measure 21, we do look at the types of interventions implemented by subrecipients with their others to ensure capabilities to care for target populations. So we're looking at collaborative interventions. Did the facility or organization undertake with health and or non-health facilities, organizations to support target populations. And that could range from advocacy, contact tracing, patient routing to routine care services, among others we have here, along with another free response. And that would also be provided by the subrecipient. The last required section that I would like to look at is our crisis standards of care measures. This is for the supporting clinical care providers in their implementation of crisis care by developing and or implementing crisis standards of care as necessary with support from medical ethicists and potentially state public health officials. So performance measure 22 looks at the percent of subrecipients contributing to the development of crisis standards of care within their jurisdiction. We ask, did your facility or organization contribute to the development of crisis standards of care in your jurisdiction utilizing HVP COAG supplemental COVID-19 supplemental funds? So yes or no. And if you answer yes, we ask what level did you contribute to the development of crisis standards of care? So it could be at the local or the state level. And this is a question for the subrecipient. We also look at the percent of subrecipients implementing capacity development activities in preparation for possible activation of crisis standards of care. And we include a pick list here with activities that could be for capacity development. And this is something that could also be provided by the subrecipient. Lastly, we look at the percent of subrecipients implementing crisis standards of care. So we ask, did your facility or organization implement crisis standards of care utilizing HVP COVID-19 supplemental funding? Yes or no? And if you answered no, we ask if there were any barriers that prevented the facility or organization from implementing them. And we ask if yes, to that question, what were the barriers? And then this is a question for the subrecipient as well. Finally, I do want to take a look at the optional measures. We have 4 or 5 different optional measures here. For topic areas that weren't quite included in these measures. So we asked a question related to the coordination with long-term care facilities and other healthcare providers for interfacility transport. We asked about promoting healthcare resilience among healthcare facility workers and what types of interventions were provided. Any successes and promising practices for fatality management? Successes and promising practices in procuring needed supplies and equipment. And then any recipient participation in program activities. And these are all of the optional measures for the HPP COVID-19 supplemental funds. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen. Let me just check on the PowerPoint, but I believe that is the last section. We are going to jump into a Q&A now. So I will pause. And I see there has been some activity in the chat, but if anyone would like to ask a question, go ahead now, and I can go ahead and answer them if I can.
Pete, I did just see one question that I think hasn't been answered yet. So, and another one just came in. The first one was regarding what the difference is between all of these measures. Are these the three, are these three different sets of measures for the same type of funding?
No, these are three sets of measures for three different types of funding. So we have one set of measures for the RESPTC FY20 Administrative Supplement Funding. One set of measures for the RESPTC COVID-19 supplemental funding, and then one set of measures for the HPP COVID-19 cooperative agreement supplemental funding. I do see a question from John Hallman that says, are all PMs required for both recipients and subrecipients? No. Only the organization or entity type in that data entity column, so it'll say recipient or subrecipient, will be responsible for that performance measure.
And it looks like we have another question. What is the due date for these reports?
That is a good question. Jennifer, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we haven't finalized the due date yet.
That's correct. We haven't finalized the due date, recognizing that these measures, and especially the budget period, is aligned with the budget period of your parent cooperative agreement for both your HPP and your OR, and your RESPTC cooperative agreement, and knowing that the performance measures for those parent cooperative agreements are due, you know, toward the end of September, or really the end of September time frame. So what we don't want to do is to pile these on top of those the due dates for those measures. So we're looking to at an extended period of time that we would collect those measures, these measures that have been described here, so as not to overburden you with responding to measures for your HPP cooperative agreement, anything that was related to the RESPTC cooperative agreement as well. So the due dates will be announced a little bit later.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. We also did have a question come in the chat. Will recipients be entering performance measures on behalf of their subrecipients, or will the subrecipients enter their own information into the new system?
I'm happy to take that one. Thanks, Karen, for the question. I think that the goal will be, as I said in the chat here, the systems are currently under consideration. But our goal would be to have the subrecipients be able to provide their own information. We'll be able to provide additional information about the data collection system soon and be able to either confirm or deny that. But that would be the goal, to try to limit the burden.
We also have a question that came in from John. If we request carryover for the HPP COAG, HPP COVID funds, and they are mostly unspent thus far, will we be able to postpone completing the performance measures until after budget period three?
I'll take that one. You should go ahead and respond for the work that you have completed within the current 12-month budget period, recognizing that there may be still activities to complete or to carry out, and also that you would be carrying over funds into the next budget period. But for the work that you have completed during the current budget period, we do recommend and highly encourage you to report out on those activities.
Thanks, Jennifer. We have a question from Sherry. She asks, what is the RESPTC cooperative agreement? I know our state has received COVID-19 supplemental and core HPP funds.
So the RESPTC cooperative agreement is actually the old HPP Ebola Part B, just kind of the evolution of the naming convention of the cooperative agreement. But when we refer to the RESPTC, we are talking about the original HPP Ebola Part B cooperative agreement, which was distributed to, or rather awarded to, the 10 regional Ebola and other special pathogen treatment centers across the HHS region.
Thanks, Jennifer. And the last question we have here is, if recipients performed these activities but didn't necessarily fund them through the COVID-19 supplemental, is there a way to reflect those achievements in the reporting?
That is a good question. There may be a way to do that within the optional measures where we talk about recipient program participation. But if it wasn't funded through the either COVID-19 supplemental funding or for either the HPP or RESPTC, I'm not sure we would want it to be listed there. But we can think about that, and I can provide a better answer because I'm not entirely sure.
My understanding about this is that it's great to include that information in terms of how, you know, recipients were able to respond through these activities or conduct some of these activities when reporting on the HPP cooperative agreement. I think if folks haven't received specific funding through these through lanes, then you won't need to be providing performance measures for those. And so potentially by providing, you know, impact stories or stories through the field, and other qualitative inputs into the HPP COAG end of your data collection, that would really be the best process to provide that information. Appreciate the question.
Great, thank you. And just to summarize, that was the last new question we had come in, but just to summarize some of the questions we received throughout Pete's presentation, there were a couple questions regarding the new platform for data collection. We are in the process of considering and developing that data system, and so we'll provide more information as soon as we're able to, and anticipate that data collection in the fall. Looks like that's the last question we have in the chat right now. Just a reminder, certainly you can submit written questions through the chat, or if you prefer to ask a question live, feel free to raise your hand and we're happy to unmute you.
Did anyone not get their question answered? Yes, I think believe you could say that those are the three areas.
And there is another question that came in during the chat, and it was, will there be a webinar for subrecipients on this topic? What we anticipate is that when we are able to provide the details regarding the data collection system that we'll be using, then we'll be able to provide and we'll have several training sessions as well as office hours for how to complete and respond to the measures.
And just for awareness as well, we will plan to share a PDF of these slides, but also the links to the online PDF documents of each of these performance measure sets so that you have them available. I don't see any other questions come through the chat. Certainly, if there's any others, you can feel free to send them to the HPP mailbox at hpp@hhs.gov, and your question will be routed to the proper POC to have that answered. Okay, I think with that, Jennifer, we can pass it over to you to close up today's webinar.
Great, thank you, Maria. And you know, a big thanks to Pete for walking us through these measures. You know, the team has put in a great deal of time, as well as all of our CIPR evaluation team, as well to, in contributing to the development of these measures. Oh, got one last minute question. Will this new tool replace the CAT? Nope, it will not replace the CAT. The CAT isn't going anywhere for now. I hope you're asking that question because you love the CAT, but no, it's not going anywhere and it won't replace the CAT. But anyway, again, thanks to Pete, the data team, as well as our SIPR evaluation team and many of our staff that have contributed and assisted with developing these measures. And thanks to all of you for joining us today and meeting with us. As stated, you know, if you have any questions regarding the performance measures following today's session, please email the HPP mailbox at hpp@hhs.gov, and our team will connect you with the appropriate point of contact for more information. As always, and I think we end every call this way, but as always, we would love to hear about how you, your healthcare coalitions, in this instance, your special pathogen treatment centers and regional Ebola and other special pathogen treatment centers are using the cooperative agreement funding to make an impact on your communities. So please fill out our story from the field submission form, send a quick note to your project officer, or email the HPP mailbox at hpp@hhs.gov. Our team will insert the link to the story from the field submission form for easy reference. And there it is. And with that, as I stated, you know, thank you again for joining us, and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.